actually love movies, films, and wanted to act and write and produce. And then, you know, I had a daughter at a very young age and, you know, I had to pay the bills. So I went and worked in retail.
That is Steph Herrera, co-founder of PepUp Tech. I'm Josh Burke, your host for the Salesforce Developer Podcast. And here on the podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we sit down and talk with Steph about her long history in the community, starting things like PepUp Tech, getting involved in things like Maris. And we're going to start with one of the things that she is most famous for and something that has an indelible impact on our community, Salesforce Saturdays. This will be a two-parter, but to kick things off, let's start right where that cold quote ended and begin with her early years.
No, not intentional at all. I was really good at retail. I did sales. I was always top salesperson in retail. And my husband at the time actually worked at Dell. We just moved to Round Rock, which is right south of Austin. And that's where Dell was located. And he was working there. And he pushed me to go do sales at Dell. I didn't want to. I don't even know how to use a computer. I've never used one in my life. You're crazy. And at the time, it was when the Dell stock was splitting and they were making, you know, Dellionaires of people and everybody wanted to work there.
Oh, wow.
So it was just one reason he wanted me to go there. He's like, you're really good with people. I think you should go try. And just, you know, basically just to shut him up, as we do with our with our partners, and to get him to leave me alone, I went and interviewed and somehow I got the job at Dell doing sales, selling computers, even though I'd never ever used one before in my life. So yeah, that's how I ended up in tech.
And so in a very side door kind of way, it sounds like you kind of just started learning the hardware, I guess?
Yeah, basically, yeah. The nice thing about Dell is they put you through a 3-week intensive training program. So I was in a class of about 20 people. Majority of them had college degrees. One guy left his job at NASA just to come work at Dell. And every single day they tested us on product knowledge. They tested us on how to navigate the system, which was a DOMS-based system. So for all you computer nerds out there. And then also on sales techniques. Every single day we were tested, and every single day everybody knew how we scored because it was a very competitive environment, and which was intentional. And every single day I scored in the top three in every category. It was something I was naturally good at and didn't even realize, you know, started to really enjoy.
So what made you move on from that? I mean, you're at Dell, you're going to become a Dellionaire, you're really good at sales. How are you transitioning out of this?
Unfortunately, I came in on as a temp, so I didn't get to be a Dellionaire. I came in as a temp, yeah, and did sales as a temp for about a year and a half. And then I did home and small business sales. I did online sales. I did e-commerce. I was part of the first e-commerce team to sell computers to people online.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Dating myself a little bit there. So yeah, I was at Dell for 9 years. I did sales and then I did order processing. I was an executive assistant for a while. So I did a little bit of everything at Dell.
Gotcha.
And then being in Austin, the startup world was exploding and a lot of people were leaving Dell and going to work for small startups. And they were just like, you really need to go work for a startup and see how the other side lives. And about that time I kind of felt like I'd done everything I could at Dell. So I did. I went to a startup and that's where I discovered Salesforce. The company that I was working for was using Salesforce. And what's crazy is I found the job on a Craigslist ad, paying $20 an hour for sales support.
Wow.
Yeah. I was a single mom. I needed the work.
Okay.
Yeah. So I answered a Craigslist ad.
Wow.
And I was interviewing in a coffee shop and the president of the company actually happened to be in there doing it with a meeting and could overhear my interview and really liked what I had to say and hired me on the spot pretty much.
He
became part of the interview and hired me on the spot. And I was working for him directly and supporting the sales team. So he had set up Salesforce and got the bones of it set up. And he's like, here, I want you to own this. I want you to figure it out. This is your baby now. And that's how I got into Salesforce.
We need a term that goes beyond the accidental admin.
Yeah. Answering a Craigslist ad for $20 an hour.
And then basically being told, here's Salesforce. It's almost like you're an unknown soldier, right? Like, here's your gun. This is yours now. Keep it oiled. Yes. We'll bring it out when we need to.
Yeah. And I did. Wow. I fell in love with it because, you know, when I was doing sales at Dell, I was using an Excel spreadsheet to keep up with everything. I had one of the best close rates on the team because I kept up every detail of my customers in a spreadsheet. So every time I made a phone call back, it was as though we had just talked and they were just blown away by how much I knew, but I kept up with it all in Excel. And when I saw Salesforce, I was just like, wow, if I'd had this tool when I was doing sales, I would have made so much more money. And so I fell in love with it.
That is such an amazing twist on the usual story that I hear. Mm-hmm. It's like developers fall in love with it because they don't have to like set this thing up or do this thing. They can just kind of go in and code and see things happen. But like this was the tool you didn't even know you wanted.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very data driven. I mean, I had my Excel spreadsheet and I use that baby. I was using it to, you know, close deals. I was a closer. I was a closer on my team. I had a very good close rate.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like the data that I could see and pull from Salesforce for my sales team. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, I was loving it.
And so when did you decide like Salesforce should be not just as a tool that you want to use, but as something that's like a backbone of your career?
You know, so that was back in 2007, 2008, and I started going to user groups. But every time I went to a user group, I sat next to developers and I got really intimidated. I was like, I'm not a developer. I don't belong here. I didn't understand the language. And so I backed out. And, you know, the startup I was with, I went to a second startup for the same company, but for a member of the board, and went to a second startup. And unfortunately, that one didn't survive. And they gave me a heads up because they knew I was a single mom. They're like, hey, we're not going to make it. You should start looking for a job. And so I went to, I wanted to go back to Dell, but they were doing layoffs. So I was like, well, I guess I'll try Apple. This is what I know. Computers is what I know. Selling computers is what I know. I'm really good at it. And so I went to go work for Apple for about a year and a half. I was there while Steve Jobs was at the helm. Mm. And it was an amazing learning experience to be able to work at Dell and work at Apple and see the differences between the processes,
The
differences between the product, to see the difference, how they train people. I learned a lot. And just to be able to see everything that Steve Jobs, what he touched, what he changed, and to be able to see it from the inside out and, you know, be very familiar with like the work of Johnny Ives and what he created, the beautiful products he created. And so it was huge for me, but I was missing Salesforce and the pay wasn't great, honestly. Apple, the pay wasn't great. So I updated my resume. This was back in 2011. It was at the end of 2011 and I applied for 3 different Salesforce jobs and got offers on all of them. And I took the one that paid the most, which was almost a 50% pay increase over what I was making at Apple.
Oh, wow.
Which isn't saying a lot because I wasn't making one at Apple. but yeah, so after that, I was just like, finally, I'd been living paycheck to paycheck at that point. You know, like I said, I was a single mom. I was working 2 jobs. Mm. You know, I was doing Apple during the day and you couldn't work remote. You had to be, you know, they wanted you there on site. Mm-hmm. And so in the evenings, I was doing medical billing every day, 7 days a week. The only time I took off was on holidays. I did that for almost 2 years and I was just, you know, I was tired of it. I was fed up. We went and started doing Salesforce in 2012 for Renew Data and the pay was much better. And after about a year, I could finally quit that second job and was making decent money to where I wasn't living paycheck to paycheck anymore. So that's when I was like, okay, I'm good at this. People want to pay me to do this. At Renew Data, I was working hand in hand with the CEO. Like he was picking my brain. Mm-hmm. On how to solve problems with Salesforce. And he always told me, I would tell him, I love working for you. And he's like, no, you don't work for me. We work together. Aww. And I just was really fortunate to get to work for him, Jim Blaney, and to be able to see what my skill set with Salesforce could do for me. And that's when I was like, okay, this tool can give me a life now. What I can do with this is valued by a CEO of a company who's coming to me for help. That's when I decided, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And finally, you know, like I can afford to live. I can afford to take care of my kids. And that's why. And I just like, I'm going to make Austin the strongest Salesforce community there is so that I can retire with this and I don't have to worry about, you know, living paycheck to paycheck anymore. That was what drove me.
That's amazing. And it's also, I love how like going back to, you know, learning sales at Dell and Dell's like that, they were kind of famous for, you know, being able to push computers.
Oh my God. Yes.
Right.
I could tell you. That's a whole nother hour.
I did want to ask, like, are any of the stories about Steve Jobs true? Like, did he ever drive a motorcycle through the lobby or anything like that?
So no, I didn't. So I was in Austin. He was in Cupertino.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So while I was working there, he was never on the Austin campus. While I was working there. Yeah.
But, and also just like the difference between those two cultures. I remember a story, which is possibly folklore, but it's like Apple and IBM announced a partnership. And there's this story about like one half the table is quality business suits and the other half is like jeans and polo shirts. And it's just like the distinction couldn't be more. But then you also have this really close relationship with another CEO. So like you have had all these really, you've had a wide diversity of experiences, not just from a Salesforce point of view, but it sounds like you were just kind of learning leadership.
Yes, I did. I got really lucky that I got to work really closely with leadership at every company I was at. And looking back now, I mean, at the time I was just like pinching myself, but looking back now, it's even more surreal when I think about it and how closely I got to work with them and learn from them. You know, it's like an on-site MBA, if you will.
Yeah.
Hands-on training. So I did. And it was all because of Salesforce and what I was able to do with it. I remember when I created the very first report for the president at ESO Solutions. So it was Chris Dilley who had hired me. And he was a president of business development, but the president of the whole company, John Dilley, had asked for a report and Chris usually did them for him. And so I did it and took it to him. He's like, did Chris do this? I was like, no, I did. And he's like, this is amazing. Like the information in here. He's like, you did this? And I was like, yeah, I did. And so that spurred me on. I think that was like my second week there when I had discovered Salesforce. So yeah, that really spurred me on and getting to get feedback directly from the C-level at every startup I was at really gave me the confidence to keep going with it.
Well, let's move then into what feels like that drove for your next phase. Tell me about PepUpTech and founding that or co-founding it.
Yeah. So I had started, it started back in 2015. I had started Salesforce Saturday in 2015 and then had also started working with the Marivis organization in 2015.
Okay.
And so in 2017, I went to Dreamforce and Mary Scotton had said that, you know, there's somebody I want you to meet. Her name is Selena Suarez. Y'all are very similar. You have the same values. I just want you two to just hang out. And basically she's like, meet me at the dev zone during Dreamforce. And she introduced us. She's like, you know, y'all are very similar. Just go hang out. She basically set us up on a play date is what I call it, a play date. And so Selena knew about Salesforce Saturday and what I was doing with it. And she was starting PepUpTech. She'd already done a couple weekend classes in New York and had already started creating the curriculum. And we did. We hit it off that summer. And then that Dreamforce. A few months later, towards the end of 2016, she reached out and said, hey, I'm doing this thing called PepUpTech. I'd like you to do this with me and be a co-founder. Uh-huh. And at the time, like I said, I was already doing Salesforce Saturdays, already volunteering for Marivis.
Yeah.
I was also leading the Salesforce Women in Tech chapter. And we met every month and I was doing Salesforce Saturday every single Saturday and was really kind of spread thin at the time. But one goal I had made for myself is I wanted to share this with more people of color, especially Hispanic and African-American Black people. I wasn't seeing enough of it. And I was trying to figure out how to do that. And she came calling and it was like, even though I had a lot going on, I felt a responsibility to do this. And I let her know, I was like, I don't know what my bandwidth's going to be, but I'll give you all that I can. And that's how it started.
Wow. I want to go back to chronologically to Salesforce Saturdays, but sticking to PepUpTech really quickly, tell me a little bit more of what you just said. Like, give me the mission statement. Like, what is PepUpTech doing right now?
PepUpTech. When we first started, going to Dreamforce, especially back then, 2016, 2015, you just didn't see a lot of people of color. And when you did, it was the people working the event. It was the people holding the doors open. It was the people doing registration. It was the people serving food.
Gotcha.
So for us, and what's really neat about like with Selena and I, we come from two totally different backgrounds. She's Puerto Rican from the Bronx. She's got a degree. She's got her MBA. It wasn't easy by any means, but she did it. She did it. I'm a Southern girl from Texas, West Texas at that, cotton fields. My grandparents, worked the cotton fields. I worked at my first job out of high school. I don't have a degree. I tried, but, we don't have trains and subways to jump on. I lived out in rural West Texas, so that just, I couldn't get there. I tried, but I didn't have a car and I was always having to bum ride. So she and I came from different backgrounds and different worlds, but we had very similar reasons for wanting people of color to be in tech because it had changed our lives and where we came from and wanting to share that opportunity and knowing that a lot of the reason you don't see more of them in tech is because we don't think we're wanted. You know, with the media that's out there, we're not part of that. We're not represented. And again, I was pushed into tech by my ex-husband. I went kicking and screaming. And then I got in there and I was like, whoa, I'm good at this. This is I never would have done that on my own.
Right.
I knew that we had to go out and get them and show them that it was a warm, inclusive place to be and that they were wanted. That was one reason why I always took pictures of Salesforce Saturday, was to show the diversity, even within Salesforce Saturday. Even there wasn't a lot of shades of brown, but there, we did have Indian. We had old and white and different, you know, backgrounds, different political leanings. And yet every time people would keep coming back and every time they, you know, they wouldn't leave. I mean, I'd start them like at 8:30 in the morning and it was supposed to go like till 10 or 11. And then they ended up going like till 1 or 2.
Oh,
people just didn't want to leave and just show like, you know, it's not, tech can be different and it can be more inclusive. And so that was the goal with Pep Up Tech, is to add more shades of brown to it.
Got it. I love all of that. And I'm reminded of my discussion and my conversation with Jessica Murphy. And, you know, she brought up, like, you know, when I was growing up, I had a visual image of what an engineer looked like, because that's what was in movies and that's what was on TV. And it was, you know, they had a haircut and they had like look and all of this kind of stuff. And she was like, I never really thought of myself like that because I just never really saw people in that position. So,
yeah, she's part from my very first outside of Austin chapter was Jessica Murphy and Rachel Watson in Phoenix. They asked if they could do a chapter. Yeah. And I love her story. Absolutely love her story.
So let's get to the origin of Salesforce Saturday. Like, why would you want to spend, it's a lot of energy, obviously. Like, what was the impetus there to be like, this is important?
So for me, it was, I knew that was the only way I would hold myself accountable. So I'd already started the first Women in Tech chapter. Again, because based off that experience when I went to the user group and was just surrounded by developers, I knew what it felt like as a female to be intimidated and not speak that language. And even when they weren't talking work, they're talking guy stuff and not being able to keep up with that. So that was the whole point with like the Women in Tech chapters when I started the first one in Austin, January 2014. And so we were meeting once a month and it was all female and it was a safe place for us to come and learn and skill each other up. Well, I had people in the community that were guys that were like, hey, what you're doing there with that is really cool. And I want to do that too. It's not fair. You know, guys can't come. And I'm like, and I remember I told one of them, his name's Frost, YouTube, and he ended up reporting to me. I was like, you have me on speed dial, Frost. I said, in any way, the world is created for men. There's plenty of groups out there for you. But that did stay with me. The next year I wanted to get, I needed to get my Dev 401 certification. And by that time I was managing teams. And I wasn't as in the weeds because as a manager, you know, you're to scale yourself and provide air coverage. You're more about, you know, strategic planning. And so your team's the one doing the work and in the weeds. And so I just wanted to sharpen my technical skills and study. And the only time I had to do was on a Saturday because, you know, Monday through Friday, I was dedicated to my job and had to do what they needed. You know, when you own an instance, it's not what you want, it's what the business needs. So this was also a way for me to get to play in a sandbox and, you know, do what I want to do on a Saturday. So I just let people know in the community that I was going to be at Starbucks studying and anybody was free to join me and let's study together. And that's how it started. Nyla Shawnee showed up and she and I studied. She studied for her admin 201 and I studied for my dev 401. And then, you know, the next time more and more people showed up. And it was just basically, again, with the goal of making the Austin community as strong as possible so that we had plenty of people who could do Salesforce so it wouldn't go away. Again, it was a selfish reason because I wanted to do this forever and it paid the bills. And, you know, it was like, and I enjoyed, you know, I come from Dell, I come from Apple, I was on Teams and I saw how you could skill each other up very quickly and succeed together. And a lot of times when you're starting out in Salesforce as an admin, a lot of times it's just you. You don't have a team. So this was replicating that for me. This was replicating that for others who you can't turn to your buddy in the next seat and say, how do you do this? Because they don't know. You're the only one. So this was providing that team environment to skill each other up at a much faster pace, again, to ensure that there was talent that could work on the Salesforce platform.
Right. I mean, you say selfishly, but you have been influential in helping many, many people get onto the platform. So
yeah, people wanted
it's a nice
to do,
cycle.
Well, I was really surprised at how many people would show up on a Saturday. I was like, I thought I was the only crazy person that would do this. And apparently there's a lot of us, the crazy ones, going back to Steve Jobs, if I can.
Nice.
In his advertising. But yeah, there are a lot of us, and we found each other, and yeah, we continue to do it. It's grown. We've got over 60 chapters globally. And every time I travel, I feel like I have a home to go to. There's somebody within that particular country or city that has a tie to Salesforce Saturday, and it blows my mind. It's such a wonderful, comforting feeling to know that I've got people all over the world who share my values and want to skill people up and help people and do well for each other. So yeah, it's a pretty mind-blowing thing for me, but I do love it.
How much effort goes into right now? Like, what's the structure like to keep 60 chapters up and running?
So at first it was, it was a lot, but now, there's enough that it's not just all me. Like Sergey in the Netherlands, he started 5, and he's like what really got it taken off in the UK. And then Atul Gupta in India, there was like 5 there. I had, there's those core people who were very similar to me who just run with it, like Becca Miller in Houston, I'm sure Bora in Atlanta. There's so many, and they, it's just making sure it's the spirit of Salesforce Saturday is that everybody is welcomed. We go to them. We don't make them come to us. We find out why they're there. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple of times when there's been some stuff that has come up that I've had to deal with that was quite stressful, but luckily I can count on one hand when that's happened. So again, when people who do this, because you get nothing out of it. There's no badge to Dreamforce. There's no budget for food. The people who are doing this purely, it's purely altruistic, and they just want to help. And so, when you've got that spirit, it makes it a lot easier to scale. And again, it's just about, it's not a user group. This supplements a user group. A user group is necessary. This is different from that. It's hands-on. It's opening up your laptop, and we're problem solving together and going the different ways to do it, or we're helping them interview for a job, or helping them with their resumes, or doing mock interviews. Whoever shows up, we're doing our best to cater to their needs and what they're needing at that moment. So keeping it not structured, keeping it unstructured and flexible and fluid like that, I think has made it so much easier for it to grow like it has.
So how does that work then? Not unlike a user group, it almost sounds like the inverse of a user group. User group, very distinct times, usually the same time, go find speakers, bring the speakers in, have some pizza. This sounds like
groups.
Wait to see who shows up and then and then just sort of react to that. Like if somebody comes in and is like, hey, I'm only a beginner, I don't have any code behind my belt, how do you have advice for getting into it?
Yep. Somebody will jump in and help them. You get your regulars who show up and obviously talk shop. this community can talk Salesforce all day long.
Yeah.
But when a new person comes in or there's a problem, somebody always jumps up to help.
And that's our show. Now, to find out things like Steph's favorite non-technical hobby, do tune in next week for the second part of the episode. We're going to continue with things like her work with Maris as well. Now, if you want to learn more about the show, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and have links to your favorite podcast service. I want to thank Steph for this interview. And as always, I want to thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.